So when is CEO compensation too, well, large? It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 12th day of April. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. In other business news, there is mounting concern over the Chinese-developed vaccine. Ford Motor Company continues to ride a sales wave. The business world and voting, yeah, they came together today. Chips take a dip, and the president weighs in. We're talking about every business's dream customer. Who is it? We will share that. We've got the Wall Street Report, and Gen Z is facing some tough decisions. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. So when is CEO compensation too large? Consider what's going on at Johnson & Johnson. CBS News is reporting that CEO Alex Gorsky made about $30 million last year. Now, two influential investor advisory firms want shareholders of the pharmaceutical giant to make the company claw back some of that pay package. Institutional Shareholder Services last week joined rival advisory firm Glass Lewis in recommending that J&J investors vote to reject Gorsky's compensation deal at the company's annual shareholder gathering later this month. ISS said J&J's corporate governance was poor, giving it a 7 rating on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the best. On compensation alone, ISS gave J&J a rating of 9, close to its lowest. At issue is the fact that J&J paid out billions of dollars in legal settlements last year, including $4 billion tied to its role in the nation's opioid epidemic. J&J has also set aside an additional $4 billion for litigation tied to claims that its talcum powder contained cancer-causing asbestos. Now, the company maintains its products are safe and that any contaminations were isolated incidents. ISS said in its report that J&J declined to sufficiently detail for shareholders how the company's board of directors weighed the multi-billion dollar litigation settlements in deciding to pay Gorsky $30 million in cash and stock awards last year. There are some mounting concerns regarding a vaccine created in China to combat COVID-19. Bloomberg is reporting that those vaccines are less effective at quelling the disease, raising questions about nations from Brazil to Hungary that are depending on the shots and the country's own mammoth inoculation drive. While vaccines developed by Pfizer, Moderna, and even Russia's Sputnik shot have delivered protection rates of more than 90%, Chinese candidates have generally reported much lower efficacy results. Research released just yesterday showed the rate for Sinovac biotech vaccine deployed in Indonesia and Brazil was just above 50%, barely meeting the minimum protection required for COVID vaccines by leading global drug regulators. Other Chinese shots have reported efficacy rates from 66 to 79%. Anxiety over the disparity spilled out in the open this weekend when George Fugao, head of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, said at a forum that something needed to be done to address the low protection rate provided by Chinese vaccines. For 39 years, the Ford F-150 has been the best-selling vehicle in the United States. And they're about to do it again, if you can believe the numbers. 24/7 Wall Street is reporting that while much of the recent focus has been on electric vehicles that are no longer a novelty, for example, Tesla produced 500,000 of them last year, American manufacturers have started to have success with vehicles as well, led by the Chevy Bolt EV, Ford's Mustang Mach-E introduced last year, and it's posted brisk sales. Almost every major global manufacturer expects much of its model lines to be all electric by the end of the next decade. However, the best-selling vehicle by far in the first quarter of this year was the Ford F-Series. It sold 203,797 units in the first quarter alone. The F-Series has been the best-selling vehicle in America for 39 years, and if the numbers hold, they will do it again for number 40. There was an online meeting this past weekend where 100 business leaders from across the U.S. gathered to talk about restrictive voting measures being passed and put into law across the country. Executives from major airlines, retailers, and manufacturers, plus at least one NFL owner, talked about potential ways to show they oppose the legislation, including by halting donations to politicians who support the bills and even delaying investments in states that pass the restrictive measures. All of that, according to four people who were on the call, including one of the organizers, a Jeffrey Schoenfeld, a Yale management professor. While no final steps were agreed upon, the meeting represents an aggressive dialing up of corporate America's stand against controversial voting measures nationwide. It's a sign that their opposition to the laws didn't end with a fight against Georgia's legislation, which passed in March. It also came just days after Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell warned that firms should, quote, stay out of politics, end quote, echoing a view shared by many conservative politicians and setting up the potential for additional conflict between Republican leaders and the heads of some of America's largest firms. The lack of semiconductor chips is throwing a wrench into manufacturing, and today President Biden stepped in with some encouragement. Bloomberg is reporting that Biden told companies vying with each other for a sharply constrained global supply of semiconductors that he has bipartisan support for government funding to address a shortage that has idled automakers worldwide. During a White House virtual meeting with more than a dozen chief executive officers today, Biden read from a letter from 23 senators and 42 House members backing his proposal for $50 billion for semiconductor manufacturing and research. This is what he said, quote, "Both sides of the aisle are strongly supportive of what we're proposing and where I think we can really get things done for the American people." He went on to say, quote, "The Chinese Communist Party is aggressively planning to reorient and dominate the semiconductor supply chain. And it goes into how much money that they are willing to pour in to the project to be able to do that," end quote. Administration officials intended to highlight elements of the president's proposed $2.2 trillion infrastructure plan, as they believe it would improve supply chain resilience. The agenda also included discussions about the auto industry's transition to clean energy, job creation, and ensuring U.S. economic competitiveness. Well, you know, nearly every business out there would likely agree that their dream customer would perhaps have these qualities. You ready? They would be more likely to own pets, and they'd love fashion. They'd want kids, and they'd want to consider starting their own business. They also make quite a bit of money, and they're still spending it during the pandemic. Pretty nice, huh? So exactly who out there meets all of that criteria? Well, Bloomberg is reporting that it is none other than the cannabis user. No, we're not making this up. Cannabis users were once considered to be too stoned to matter, but that seems to be no longer the case. Today, they are so attractive a demographic, in fact, that some consumer goods and technology companies are actively courting them as customers. Take, for example, the words from Uber. This is what they said. Quote, "A cannabis consumer is younger than the normal consumer, has more disposable income, they are busier than most, they are working all the time, exercising all the time, going on adventures all the time," end quote. And Uber says the results of targeting this group have been good. In fact, Uber has found that cannabis users are more likely to watch and complete video ads than the average consumer. Gone are the old cliches about washed-up stoners. An MRI Simmons survey from last year showed that people who consumed cannabis were 22% more likely than non-cannabis users to seek out variety in their everyday lives, 32% more likely to want to be first to try new products and services, and 25% more likely to make impulse purchases. And they're also good at influencing. They're 27% more likely to keep social media feeds updated and 25% more likely to share their opinions by posting ratings or reviews. Cannabis users. See what you learn here? Well, Wall Street slipped today on fears of inflation as those fears crept back into the minds of investors, and they're waiting for some clues from the upcoming earnings report. With U.S. consumer price data to be released tomorrow, the thought is those numbers could very well push the Treasury yields higher. Earnings week does kick off on Wednesday. For today, the markets sort of stalled out with the Dow off by 55 points to end the trade at 33,745. The NASDAQ was down by 50 points at 13,850, and the S&P 500 fell fractionally to 4,127. And finally, there is this. Gen Z has not been handed a rosy future, that according to The Economist. Consider that the world's youngest crop of adults, those born in 1997 and later, entered the jobs market during a pandemic, and they'll need to contend with the increasingly severe effects of climate change. Now, add to that that their nest eggs are also at risk. The generation can expect just 2% average annual real returns on their investment portfolios. By comparison, baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials have enjoyed real returns of 5% or greater. The advice is that to be able to weather the low return storm, this generation will likely need to be prudent, focusing on saving more and investing for the long term. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.